Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Reiki authors Bronwyn and Fran Steiner, founders of the International House of Reiki. Find out more at www.reiki.net.au.
Hi, my name's Bronwyn.
And my name is Franz.
And today we have with us Kathleen Hepburn-Klim. And Kathleen is a Reiki practitioner and has an honours degree in nutritional counselling and works in Scotland. Today she's going to tell us about the work she's been doing with Reiki and nutrition and also a little bit about her unique business setup. Welcome, Kathleen.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, Kathleen, can you tell us a little bit about how you combine Reiki and nutrition in your practice?
Yeah, what I found is that Reiki allows people to relax, and when they actually relax enough, this body stops searching for the wrong kinds of foods. If anything, the body will start searching for better food. I know I have one client who complains when she comes to see me, when she's finished, she's absolutely starving hungry, but not for, like, crisps or chocolate or junk food. It's actually searching for fruit and nuts and sort of anything that's really healthy. It seems to work that if the body's relaxed and the mind's relaxed, then they don't seem to overeat. And that breaks the cycle of when you overeat, you get uptight, and when you get uptight, you overeat. This seems to work really, really well with people who are trying to lose weight or at least just balance their weight and to stop the yo-yo dieting.
After how many treatments can you see already like a change in a person in their diet?
After about three treatments, that people will come and say, eat. I don't know whether this is what's meant to happen, but I find that I don't want to eat as much, or my tastes have changed, or I find that I don't have the munchies at night anymore. Mm. And I'm like, well, that's because your body's more relaxed. And although none of them are complaining about it, I have to say, there's a lot of the people that I have anxiety issues, and that causes them to be on antidepressants, and when you're on antidepressants, you do have a tendency to gain weight.
Mm.
So they find that they manage to cut down the medication. So without the medication, they seem to feel more in control, and they don't seem to want to eat as much.
Yeah, I've noticed that with people who've done Reiki courses, for example, and they might be smokers, and they'll say that actually when they're doing the course, for example, that they don't feel like running outside to have a cigarette every break. And by the end of the course, they don't feel like smoking at all. But of course, it's then up to them whether they keep that up or not and how much practice they do, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I know that when I did Reiki, I used to be addicted to ice cream, which is quite a bit of an awkward thing when you're dairy intolerant. However, now, I can't be bothered. I don't really eat it. I mean, if I find it and it's lactose-free, I might have a little bit, but nothing to the way I used to be.
Mm. Yeah. Why do you think that a lot of the diets that people are given aren't working?
Well, because it's one-size-fits-all diet. You know, it's like going into a shop and expecting a pair of trousers to fit you. Without one size does not fit all with a diet. Everybody's body is completely different. And that means that it should be treated as an individual. That's what Reiki does. It allows the body to be treated as an individual because, obviously, each person you work on has different energies. Therefore, the body is able to become what it needs to do, and it can start. And I guess the body rules the mind rather than the mind ruling the body. The body will tell the mind what it needs. And if your body has the ability to be relaxed, then it can find what it's looking for, and the weight will come off naturally. Diets do work. I mean, they do cause people to lose weight, but they're not what they can do for the rest of your life. You can't cut carbs out of your diet for the rest of your life. You can't only eat certain shakes for the rest of your life. So it's more an individual thing rather than a one-size-fits-all.
And is there a special way that you use Reiki with nutrition when you're actually doing treatments? Do you talk about it with clients, or how do you do it?
Well, to begin with, I know the clients will come in and they've got arthritis or, say, a problem. We'll discuss like on the table about what it is that they're looking for from Reiki and, you know, the nutritional side of it. And sometimes they say they just want to eat better. Sometimes they say, I really want to lose weight. Sometimes they just want to know how to make themselves feel better from their aches and pains and migraines and all the rest. We discuss that in the beginning, and then when they leave, we have another 5-10 minute conversation where I'll give them some ideas, some suggestions, and I ask them to fill out a diet sheet. Well, it's not a diet sheet, it's more like a food menu to give me an idea of what they're eating. The next time they come back, we can sit down and have a chat and say, well, out of that, what is it you think you really wanted? Or what was it just out of stress? Or what was it just because you had nothing to do? And they'll sort of do the psychology side with them about what they're eating. When you do Reiki on them again, and they'll come back, say, the second or third time, they'll actually find that what they've been eating is completely different. And I'll say to them, was that a choice thing? Did you make that conscious, or did it just happen? Sometimes they say, well, I did think about what I was doing, but most of the time they go, no, not really, because I didn't have time or whatever. I just found that it didn't taste the same. And I do keep, and a lot of them find by eating certain foods, you find it's a trigger food for their arthritis, or it's a trigger food for their migraine, or it's a trigger food for their IBS. And by avoiding it or finding an alternative, they feel better.
So basically, I guess you're bringing a client's attention to what they're doing nutritionally to themselves. And in that, mixed with the Reiki, it tends to support their bodies in choosing a better diet.
Yes. Yeah.
You just talked about some trigger foods. Can you maybe share a couple of those trigger foods with the audience?
Yeah, eggplants and potatoes are incredibly bad if you've got arthritis or aches and pains. On the flip side, for that kind of thing, you start eating pineapples and cherries. They're anti-inflammatories. Instead of white potatoes, you can eat yams, which are much better because they're more full of vitamins and minerals. For migraines, obviously, it's the chocolate and the red wine. Although people know all this, they choose to ignore it. And grapes, you know, they say, oh, well, I eat loads of grapes. And I'm like, well, it's still going to cause a migraine because it's still fermenting in your stomach. And if someone has a latex allergy, that they could be allergic to bananas. And then if they're allergic to bananas, there's a whole host of other things. They really need to sort of work on one by one whether they can eat them or not.
Do you have a specific kind of herb or food what you kind of subscribe or tell people to use for a lot of different kind of aches and pains or discomforts?
Ginger and cinnamon. Ginger because it's warming. If you make a ginger tea bath or a cinnamon tea bath, it warms the bones because it soaks through. If you drink ginger tea when you're full of cold, it helps sweat it out of you. It warms you from the inside out. So it does eradicate the cold, especially if you leave dairy products alone as well. And cinnamon is fantastic because it makes you feel good. It's a feel-good factor. You know, cinnamon reminds you of Christmas. Christmas can remind you of happy times. And it makes you feel spoiled. And that's what chocolate does as well. So if you eat cinnamon rather than chocolate, you'll find that you get the same feelings, but with only 2 or 3 of the calories.
So instead of a chocolate, you can have a little stick of cinnamon in your pocket.
Yeah.
And once in a while, you give it a little lick.
Yes, definitely.
And I want to hear a little bit about the cinnamon and ginger bath. I like baths. Do you just throw in ginger, fresh ginger?
I throw in ginger tea bags.
Okay.
I make myself a huge pot of tea in the bath. And it doesn't have to be that many. I mean, 3 or 4 is fine. It's more that it just gets through into the skin. And it's a warming effect. And it's something about the feeling that you get. And, of course, it helps and block your nose because ginger is quite potent. And it soaks through, so it helps with arthritis. It helps with sore tummies. And it eases your headache if you've got a cold. I know I take it when I've been running and my knees are really, really sore. I've seen me go for a ginger tea bath to ease the knee pain.
And cinnamon, you just put powdered cinnamon in? Or?
Yeah, I do. Just powdered cinnamon. Again, it doesn't have to be a huge amount. The water doesn't have to be a nice bright red colour. It's just a case of it's the smell. It's when you're in the bath, it warms you, but the smell of having the cinnamon around, it soaks back into your body as well. And cinnamon can help when you've got headaches. And it can leave that feel-good factor on the body.
So
it's a lovely feeling.
So if you're feeling a bit down or something like that, you could have a cinnamon bath.
Yeah, as well as burn cinnamon candles, and you can use cinnamon essence. It's the smell, and it's what it does internally. You know, you can swallow cinnamon, it makes you feel good. You can bathe in it because it makes your body feel better, and also you can smell it, which can help you still have that feel-good factor.
Kathleen, talking not only about your Reiki practice and nutrition, you as well have a very interesting business setup. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I'm a social enterprise, which means that I'm a non-profit making organization. I did it so that I was able to do voluntary work and so that I could allow everybody to have a chance at Reiki rather than just those that can afford it.
How does it work?
Well, what it is I have it's self-supporting, so I have clients who pay the full amount, although it is reduced compared to a lot of other places. And I have some clients who can't afford to pay, so therefore they get their treatments for free because I have clients that can self-support me. It also allows me to be able to do a lot more voluntary work. That makes it easier for me to get the word of Reiki out there. It is a case of it is like running a business. However, I get a wage from being self-employed, but it is non-profit making. So everything that we do make of profit gets ploughed straight back into the business to help it grow, so that I can do more voluntary work, so that it can keep to the aims that it was meant to do. I wanted to give Reiki to everybody. I think if everybody had 10 minutes of Reiki a day, they wouldn't have the same stresses in the world.
Where are you doing this? I know you've got your own clinic.
Yes, I have, in Kelso, in the borders of Scotland.
Okay, and do you go to other places as well, because you talked about volunteering?
I go to Edinburgh. I go to a place called Pilton. I look after women who are suffering from postnatal depression and have been in abusive relationships. And just lately, I've just done a fair trade event in Glasgow, where I was there doing Reiki for the whole weekend, just showing people what it is. And it was amazing how many people in Glasgow knew about it, but had never had the chance to experience it. And the amount of people now that I have sort of like email address going, when you're doing a training course, can you let me know? And it seemed to have caught their attention, and it was wonderful to see. You know, I was booked up from 11:15 till 6:00 on Saturday,
yeah.
And I'd only opened at 11. So they're just two examples. I also do a lot of sort of, I'll go around to the schools and I work with some children who have Asperger's, and I've started to work with some children who have autism. So it's sort of growing slowly but surely. It's definitely growing.
Okay, and with all of these different areas that you're working in, you're using Reiki and nutrition?
Yes, definitely. I mean, obviously for the children with autism, I'm using Reiki, and I'll do absentee Reiki. The nutritional side with their parents, because there's certain foods that are trigger foods for these kids, and certain things that are better for them to have than others. The nutrition for a lot of them as well, I suppose nutrition just comes naturally to me. And the trauma says, oh, I've got an ache and a pain. You can see, oh, we tried this, that, or the other. And then when they desperately want to sort of try and lose weight, again, the advice just seems to come. I don't know, it just seems to come out without thinking about it.
And what about women?
Women with postnatal depression.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a hormonal thing. And they're also in abusive relationships, which makes it very difficult for them to see any way forward. They have been in an abusive relationship. Reiki's given them a chance, from what I have seen and witnessed, gives them the chance to just chill out. It gives them a chance for 1 hour just to feel like they don't have to. I don't know, it just gives them a chance to relax. You see them for the first couple of times, they're still quite uptight, but then all of a sudden something seems to just allow them to. It's like the pop, and it's like they deflate themselves and they lie on the table. It also helps with the relaxation and allows them to become mentally strong. That mental strength is going to obviously help them move forward. The nutritional side of that is, a lot of these ladies are very, very low in zinc, magnesium, and vitamin B12, which can cause depression as well, or at least can enhance depression. So by making sure they're getting the right diet, they're taking some supplements, they're able to pull themselves up, and it's amazing some of the results that we've actually seen in Edinburgh.
Do you maybe have a hint for people who are going to set up their business and maybe want to do something similar as you, like a social enterprise?
When I did it, I knew what a social enterprise was, but I didn't. So I think the best thing is to find out exactly what kind of social enterprise you want to be, whether you want to be a charity, whether you want to be a voluntary organization, and try and get the paperwork done first, because once you're practicing, it's really hard to get all the paperwork done and run the business at the same time, because there is a lot of bureaucracy. But I think that would be the only thing. And just get out there and advertise it. I mean, just your own advertisement. And by being a social enterprise, you're able to contact all these voluntary groups and say, look, I do this, I do that, can I help you? And the more you get, the more voluntary organized work you do, the more chance you have of getting funding, which obviously makes everybody's life easier.
And you can get funding from the government as well as private funding.
No, you can, from the, over here, you can get it from the lottery fund, and then there's private funders that do for community enterprise businesses. You have to tap into them, and it's okay, so I mean, like everyone else, you have to fight for them. So the more that you can make your business show, it's very hard to make a business show that it's a social enterprise when it's a Reiki business, because it's not the norm, and that made it very difficult to begin with. But the more voluntary organizations you work for, the more it's shown that you are a social enterprise, the more that helps.
Well, that's been really informative on many levels. So thank you so much, Kathleen.
Very welcome.
Yeah, and we hope that it all goes well for you. And we will make sure that if anyone has any questions about any of those subjects, that they can then contact you through your website.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to have a cinnamon bath, Kathleen. So I'm going to take your advice and put some cinnamon in the bath and sit in it.
Well, enjoy it, because you will find that it's very relaxing. You'll sleep well tonight.
Well, thank you.